always selling something everybody wants to be. That's an educated educator talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. Old story, teacher shortage. New solution. I don't even know if it's a new solution, but Arizona says uneducated teachers is the solution to the problem. In fact, what they're really saying is that becoming an educated, highly qualified teacher is part of the problem. It keeps people from being in the classroom, and darn it, we need people getting into that classroom. L.A. Tom, we love his call, called in and talked about, though, you know, the kind of like, are we inflicting some kind of long-term damage on our society? And we were kind of going with, you know, how do citizens typically approve and allow such things as uneducated teachers becoming a satisfactory solution to the crisis? And made me think a little bit, Johnny, about, you know, well, education is supposed to be, you know, the whole idea is to create an educated population of citizens that are out there doing some critical thinking so that things like this wouldn't happen. It just made me think about, you know, the late George Carlin and one of the things he had said about education. And here's George's quote. There's a reason education sucks. It's the same reason that it will never, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you get, because the owners of this country don't want that. What don't they want? I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit down around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting you-know-what by a system that threw them overboard 30 blanking years ago, end quote. George Carlin. Well, so then the solution here then of Arizona is, from L.A. Tom's point, very much intentional if we take George Carlin in that and saying, of course we don't want educated teachers in there, and we're going to use the crisis of 2,000 empty classrooms to solidify the move that we've been trying for the longest time, which is we don't want, not that we don't want no education, we don't want no educated teachers teaching our students to be thinking critically, Johnny Lupinacci.
I mean, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, you know, you've got a crisis, we got a leak, right? Well, we had to back up too. We had to plug the hole that's a leak, and also say, stop shooting holes in the pipes, right? Because there is a political purpose to education, and like, we got to back out. That's what we're doing here. And I know talking about this article, but I really, really want to refocus this on the fact of like, what is the purpose of schools in society? Because that's kind of what we're getting here. We ask that question, and we might disagree on the purpose of schools and society, right? And that's that Carlin quote's kind of getting at that. If the purpose of schools and society is to make sure we got a whole lot of people not prepared to make decisions for their community and who believe that they aren't smart, like, school's done a really good job of instilling in a lot of people that they don't know what they're doing, right? To be able to create a certain kind of labor force. And it's simply all imploding at the moment. There are these labor shortages. It's not just teaching.
Right.
There are work shortages in all kinds of areas. And schools in this country are not benevolent in this crisis. It's manufactured. It's as simple as, why is there a leak in the pipe? Because particular people keep going up to it and shooting holes in the pipe. Right. And so we have policymakers like those folks in Arizona who you identified are seizing the opportunity to lower the qualifications of teachers, right? Have been connected to the systemic ways of making teaching so intolerable for teachers that they have to leave. Right.
Well, that comes back to, you know, it's like, look, the shortage, you know, we say the manufactured crisis. I'd agree with you. And in fact, it's not a crisis. They've put forth an agenda that has gotten exactly where we want to go, which is, you know what? We don't want educated teachers. We don't want critical thinkers. We don't want, quote, woke teachers out there teaching about the potential that, hey, you know what, calling it involuntary relocation, that's a heinous crime when you're trying to talk about slavery. That's a horrible thing. All of these things that come up to question the power of critical thinking, the rights of citizenry to ask those hard questions, well, you eliminate that. You eliminate that intentionally then by actually making standardized education that is, you know, not, quote, controversial, doesn't make me upset, doesn't make me uncomfortable. And then on top of that, you create laws that then take the qualified educated teachers that are out there, make them frightened about actually doing their job as teaching, and then driving a lot of them to quit. And then at the same time, stepping up as a solution-minded politician and putting forward, my goodness, these poor children need an adult in front of them. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we got to such a shortage, but here we are to save the day. We're going to allow anybody to get into these classrooms because, my goodness, it's a crisis. It's an emergency. And here we go. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And boy, how about making, though, your own crisis so you can put in your solution to put the final nail on the coffin of going, we don't like public education for the good of the citizenry. We don't like that idea. So, John, you're back. The societal aims, intentions of a public education. I'm not all for a liberating, democratic, critically thinking citizenry. That sounds like a bunch of woke liberal lefty stuff, and I don't want that in my education system. The intentions of school, hey, you're upending my political career. I don't know. I said a mouthful there, Johnny.
Yeah, you did, man. And you took it right to that liberal conservative split. I'm going to go right down the middle and be like, hey, I want young people in this country, really around the world, but especially in this country or in my community or in the communities I'm a part of. Really, I shouldn't be speaking on behalf of every community, although I'm an expert in these areas. I don't want to map what everybody should do onto them, but at least in the area I'm a stakeholder in, right? Maybe my country, my state, my county, my district, right? This is a democracy. I have a say in this, and mm-hmm. I kind of want to, you know, extend it to the fact that, like, I really do think no matter what your political affinity is, whether you want, like, it has nothing to do with wokeness or liberal agendas or conservative right wing. It's about what are the core principles of a democracy? What are the skills we have, like general literacy, able to read, able to do mathematics in terms of add, subtract, multiply, divide, be able to think openly and apply multiple perspectives to a complex situation. Right? Like, hey, we got to solve a problem in our neighborhood. Okay. Mm-hmm. We got to get together and we got to consider the facts and apply scientific literacy or what we all learned in school is problem solving together to solve this problem in a humane and democratic way. Great. That has zero affiliation or ought not to have any affiliation with whether it's MSNBC or Fox News, like that polarization, right, that continues to plague how we come at shared necessary decision-making, which to me, a school system is a no-brainer. It's a government function, and together in our community, we are stakeholders in it. Whether we have kids or not, we come together to decide what ought to be, you know, what ought to be the function of our schools, the curriculum for our schools. And that within that we can have experts guiding it, but we need a citizenry that is connected enough to it that they don't allow for things like paying teachers so little that they can't continue to be a mainstay for the children in that community. These are kinds of things that wouldn't happen if the decision-making power was localized and depoliticized from two parties.
But see, you're back to the two parties, and you're going right down the middle. And I would say there is no middle here, Johnny Lupinacci. You're talking about small D democracy and saying citizens who want a small D democracy, as if that's a middle ground. I'm not sure that a small D participatory citizenry is a middle ground in this current state of affairs that we're in. And, you know, so maybe I'm doing extreme left, extreme right. If you're calling that the middle, I'll just call what you're asking for is a human liberal, not the liberal Democrat, but the small L, a liberal way of being in the world. Yeah, I think that's what you and I want. But I got to say at this point, the idea that we're seeing, you know, so let's move to Florida, where the teachers that are left there that are certified to teach, particularly in social studies, are now being handed a curriculum in which every social studies teacher who's got a qualified social studies license is sitting there going, yo, this ain't true history. I can't really teach this stuff. This is religious indoctrination. I can't really do this stuff. But here you've got the state, who's supposed to be a democratic actor, imposing on teachers what to teach, to how to teach, to the bound citizenry who have to go to public schools. They're a captured audience in that classroom now. Now we've taken it to the step of saying, and here's what you as a teacher have to teach these kids. That ain't small D democracy. That ain't small L liberal. That's fascism, dude. And this is where I'm going, man. If you think that's too far, I'm worried about where we're headed with this, because I think it's extreme not to understand how extreme the situation is. That's where I'm coming, Johnny.
Well, I agree with you. And I think it's a whole, what I want to put in there is it's an interesting kind of fascism, because it's, you were calling it democracy. It's not democracy with a small D. It's incredibly centralized government decision-making that's imposing a curriculum. It's deciding it in a centralized way. It's authoritarianism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not sure that it's quite fascism from my perspective. We got to gather more facts. I think it leads to the door opening towards it could be fascist. It certainly is authoritarian, which is, you know, a key ingredient in fascism, mm-hmm. but it's centralized decision-making. It's big government. It's not even democracy. So it's just government with a big old G right there that's saying, we'll make the decision. We'll tell you what to do. What worries me, Tim, is that it's not actually government per se. It's corporate interest.
Mm.
It's a particular set of political interests imposed. So it's not democratic anywhere. It's not even democratic with a big D. It's just, here's what we want to be there to be taught. And it's top down, it's imposed. And we're seeing how it plays out in places around this country and really around the world. This is not a phenomenon unique only to the United States.
Johnny Lupinacci, it sounds to me like maybe you're talking about oligarchy, if we want to go down to a word, huh? Oligarchy. 844-967-2789. You got one last chance to call us after the break. More Busted Pencils when we get back.